The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Well, the boss called me up and said, come in to work. I just hung up on that slave-driving jerk. I'm going to wrestling. Going to wrestling. Well, you'd think I'd rather be sweating on a dock or watching somebody use a hammerlock. I'm going to wrestling. Going to wrestling. R-A-S-S-L-I-N, that's wrestling. R-A-S-S-L-I-N, that's wrestling.
We call this segment of the podcast Happy Chat because it's usually where we break the ice and talk about the week. And we joke around and stuff, but I got to be honest, it's not happy this week. Because last week, producer Chris decided to be a stooge and tell me that there was someone advertising that they were going to do a pro wrestling event without a pro wrestling ring. And then I did my homework. And now I am if I was piping hot last week, I am nuclear hot this week. I'm joined by my friend, the Mecca Shane Madison, who's asked me to stop yelling. I'm joined by producer Chris across the table. I refuse to call this 3D pro wrestling. I refuse to call it 3D PW. From now on, I'm going to call it 3D GW, 3D garbage wrestling. Anybody who's on this show has no credibility to me. And I don't care that Sexy Eddie's on the show. I used to think that guy might be something. Obviously, he's not.
Is that the guy from Montreal?
Yeah, they're flying him in to do a... Here's the thing. I'm going to tell you something. If you ever...
Look, glasses are off. Yeah. Sleeves are rolled up.
Yeah.
How hot are you right now?
I'm piping hot. Like, I have a caffeine pill in me.
I'm worried he's going to tip over backwards.
No, I just... I got to tell you something. They've advertised a death match. It is false advertising.
Death of the business, maybe.
Death of the careers. Unless there's a coroner there and somebody gets taken out on a stretcher and passes away, and I know Chris is going to lose it.
Who's in the death match?
Stefan Epic against Sexy Eddie, I believe.
Yeah, I believe that.
I think it's the whole matter. The whole show is... There's not going to be a wrestling ring here, people.
No ring, yeah.
There's going to be light bulb tubes.
Is that
and there's
because
gonna
they
be,
can't afford a ring, can't get a ring?
I think the venue's too small for it.
Nobody will rent them a ring. Well, Tony has a 14-foot ring.
I think AJ might own that now, I think. I don't know.
But there's rings out there. That's the point.
Why is there no ring? Is it just let's run a show because...
Because there's a thing that happened. It's this death metal subculture of people.
Never heard of them.
Well, like, exactly. It's the people that are into alternative music and they like this thing. And there's been shows like this before.
Yeah.
Apparently there's even been one in Winnipeg. No, the whole show.
Where?
I know of in North Dakota, I think Time Bomb does it where they go to like a video store and it just breaks out into the, and they're going to try to put it on YouTube, and people, trust me, there are people that have an appetite for this, but it ain't what I talk about. It ain't what Bees She's is about. We talk about professional wrestling like you did as a very, very solid local career. Like I produced that went on TV all across North America. It isn't what I know. So I'm telling you.
Well, look at it this way. Who would put their name on a show with no ring? I would never work on a show with no ring.
Well,
imagine if you're a fan, you show up at the show, you think it's wrestling.
Yeah, it's promoted as wrestling.
You walk in the door.
Where's the ring?
There's no ring.
Yeah. I want my money back. And the other thing I will tell you,
part
and
of the
I know this
is the ring.
I know this from experience, and I can take you back to 2001 when Rob Stardom started doing hardcore in the Palladium. Initially, it was good and people liked it, but it was the law of diminishing returns. And after you stop shocking people the first and second week, nobody cares, because what people care about in wrestling is they care about the characters, the personality, the promo, and if you can get them to ask the question to themselves, I wonder what's going to happen when those two wrestle. They want to watch. Nobody is going to care about a death match. It will work this time. Like I talked to one guy who said it'll be a sellout. And I said, it is garbage sellout. I don't care that it's a sellout. I don't care that there's 400 people that if they knew there was going to be a car accident at the corner of Portage and St. James Street, they would all watch it. I personally wouldn't like watching it more than once because after I watched it once, I'd be sick to my stomach. I don't want this to become a fad. That promoter needs to be run out. I'm not going to say his name anymore. And if he thinks I'm going to talk about 3D pro wrestling like it means anything, no, it is lower than, it's worse than Ultimate Thunder Wrestling was in the early 2000s when John Drew was running it. It is garbage. It is no credibility. It is bullshit. I'm not even gonna lazy carn it. That's how mad I am about this. And it's gotten worse every single day. You had to stir it up, didn't you?
I did.
You had to look on the internet and tell me what's being advertised.
And what happened after the last show when we pulled up the post?
You're being far too calm.
You emailed this said promoter.
Yeah.
And just to confirm, hey, are you guys doing a show
and
with no ring?
He proudly said yes.
And he just...
yes, period.
Yes, period. Okay, then,
There's so many layers to this and so many things, like, how are they able to have whatever venue it is? I don't know.
Pyramid Cabaret.
How does Pyramid...
We're already selling him too many tickets.
But how is their insurance not in jeopardy? Because
I guarantee it is.
They're having a bar fight in the bar that's sanctioned by them.
It's backyard wrestling. They're going to run around the bar, smash bottles over their head.
And act cool and think that they're something special.
But that's the thing. They're having a brawl in the bar. Normally that shit's frowned upon. Am I wrong?
Manitoba Liquor Control Commission will come in and say this is not entertainment and this is bullshit. But let me say something. You bringing up the insurance, now when some stooge decides they're going to call in the insurance, you're going to be suspect number one because you brought it up on the podcast.
Shane Madison called me a stooge way back in the day on the Wayne and Shane show, and it's stuck. So.
You now have given just cover.
Like people thought I called the border on people crossing.
Sammy Savard.
Hello, Mr. Border guy. I there's a wrestler coming across the border. Who'd even call somebody on that?
Yeah, they think it's easy to report something, and I'm sure it's not. I've never tried. Anyway. A long story, and this is the last thing I'm going to say about this, and then next week I'm going to be more mad and start again with it. Mr. Promoter, you got out of the business when you were trying to promote pro wrestling. You will never have respect doing this. You could hurt our business. If something goes wrong on something like this, it's not like they could say he was a trained professional doing something that in a controlled situation. You are now taking it away from trained professionals doing it in a controlled situation. And I personally hate what you are doing. And to all those fans who listen to our show who want to check this out, by all means, that's your taste. You might also want to go stand on the corner when you know there's a car accident going to happen. I personally am not like that. And I refuse to endorse it. I refuse to respect it. But I respect the fans' right to go to it if they like it. But I will never, ever, ever endorse
this. And it's actually, you know, Mike, you say something very important. And I saw Spider at the gym yesterday. Spider, loyal listener to the show.
Yep.
Can't wait to be
future
on, by
guest,
the way.
Future guest.
So we were talking about this. And we were talking about, not this situation specifically, but the name that was brought up was the Masked Messenger, if you remember him. Okay, you remember him. Okay,
he named you Mecha Shane.
Devil Mike Davidson.
Why are you lightening
the
mood
the devil.
Now? When I think of this
because,
man, I can't stay mad.
Because this has to do with this. And I remember when Cheech and I entered one of his battle royals. We just went in the back. We crossed our name. We crossed two names off the list in the battle royal. We entered. We put our names on the sheet. So some guy goes, hey, I'm number 18. I go, not anymore. So Cheech and I was 18.
Police the business. You guys police the business.
Well, that's the thing. Getting back to your point about 3J wrestling, 3 Jabron wrestling what I'll call it.
Yeah, 3D garbage wrestling.
What I will say is when something goes wrong, and something will, and I said this to Spider just the other day, guess who gets the phone call from the Winnipeg Sun? Not Jabron promoter.
No, they don't know who he is.
They're going to call Mike Davidson.
Or Danny.
They're
going to
call Danny Duggan. Yeah. They're going to call Shane Madison. Yeah, they're going to call reputable
Bobby
people.
Bobby J might even get the call.
Right. And then they're going to be, well, what is this? Well, it's not really pro wrestling. Well, they advertise it as wrestling. Well, you know, it isn't really. Well, don't you guys do anything about this? Why aren't you guys?
And then they start putting a microscope on the industry. Yeah.
And then it's just a bad look all around. So, like, and getting back to the Masked Messenger, big, you know, heavy set guy, you know, getting in the ring, not trained. If that guy drops dead in the ring, again, guess who gets the call?
Yeah, why wasn't anybody who'd been around the industry saying that this guy wasn't in physical conditioning to do it? Let me tell you, if a athlete dies on the football field, the team's athletic trainer and doctor are getting grilled. Why didn't you spot that there was a medical condition that could do this? You know what could happen after this show goes really bad is Manitoba Liquor and Gaming Commission, which oversees gambling and drinking establishments, could say no more wrestling as entertainment in bars, which immediately affects Danny at Rookies. And they have the Adam Knight situation that happened in December that was a black
could
eye on that.
But they police themselves. Back.
Andrew, who'd like to do doubles, it could quickly affect Primos, who's doing
Greenbrier
wrestling, as Steve Stryker is calling
weekly.
It. Yeah. It's a terrible situation, and this guy doesn't have, for one, he hasn't been around the business long enough to know how to book, which is one of my big pet peeves on these people who go around running shows and don't have a qualified booker to say, hey, talent, don't do it this way. This guy doesn't know, and I don't blame Mark promoter. I blame wrestlers. I don't blame Sexy Eddie for taking the plane ticket and taking the booking and the money, and I don't even blame Stefan Epic for taking the money, but hey, listen, if I find out Mentolo takes the booking, I'm going to say, what are you thinking? If AJ Sanchez takes the booking, they show up on a lot of shows. If they say they're not going to touch this thing, that says a lot. So hopefully they say, you know what? It's not my cup of tea. It's not what I do. You do that stupid thing. Let the industry distance themselves from what this guy is doing. And then we can make a statement. I'm not a part of this, but I look down on this effort big time. I think it's garbage. I think it's gross. And hey, if you're going to advertise a death match, there better be a legitimate coroner there to pronounce somebody dead, because otherwise it's just going to be credibility that's dead, and it's going to be people's career that's dead.
And I feel sorry for people who actually are willing to participate in a show like this, and I think it's not a great idea. And professionally, myself, I would never put my name on a show.
And Mr. 3D Garbage Wrestling Promoter, you can send me an email and thank me, because the 10 minutes we just spent talking about it unfortunately sold too many tickets for you, because I don't think people are going to hear this and go, hey, we're not going to check it out, because we've now created the controversy for him. That's my one and only favor for this idiot. Now, I want to move on.
Let's move on.
Now, Weekly Wrestling has been dead in Winnipeg since Andrew stopped in 2005 running Weekly to go monthly at the Lid, the Palladium. Thursday nights went from weekly to monthly because it was hard to maintain, and the fans, it was hard to motivate people.
Palladium, Stratosphere, then the Lid, then Dylan O'Connor's.
Yeah, but he didn't do weekly at Dylan's, did he?
I think he did do weekly for a period of time.
I believe so.
So when the Lid closed down, he was still going weekly?
I think he went to Dylan O'Connor's in 08.
Yeah, after the Lid closed down.
Yeah, yeah, and I think he was still running weekly. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure it was weekly.
Oh, I thought he quit weekly in 2005.
I could be wrong.
Probably right.
But it's been years.
Yeah, so that would be 15 years if it's 2008. And you're right. I do remember at Dylan's, he was running Dylan's on Pembina. He was running it weekly because when he had that infamous parking lot argument with Wayne Stanton, when Stanton said, let's get in our cars, drive, and then we'll get out and fight in three parking lots over.
Wasn't that where Pepito came in with Pepito, a rubber bat?
Yes, yes. There was
I am the great Pepito.
So it's 15 years since anyone's tried weekly. And now Mark Merrick, Graham Keem, Primo's Wrestling is going to try to go Wednesday nights. Tough night. I don't like this at all. Sorry. The one thing I will say about what he's trying to do is if he ties it into the AEW on TV, it ends at 9. And then
Wayne did that at Bumpers back in the day. Yeah, remember, exactly. He would do Raw. And Raw would be over at 10, and then wrestling would start right
and
after.
And Palladium on Thursdays was SmackDown into wrestling. So it can work if you use the viewing of that show. And then you do some like cool prizes, and Graham's the kind of guy who can do it because he owns Primos. Hey, I'm going to give away this AEW shirt to this draw winner, da, da, da. If you do contests to tie it in, and if AEW's product is strong enough on TV to draw people out to come watch it, and he starts right at 9:15, which is 15 minutes after the show is over, and he ends it by 11, he's got a shot. But if he thinks, hey, we're going to start at 10 on Wednesdays and we're going to go to 1 a.m., nobody in this day and age is staying out that
it's
long.
It's got to be a quick show. Got to be a quick, tight show.
Well, and that's the other thing is a lot of people don't know what to do on a bar show.
Well, has anybody even been to what is the Briar on a Wednesday night?
That's probably dead, I would imagine.
So
the bar's not taking a busy night and saying, hey, we're going to add wrestling to
it. Right, so it's probably just like a night that there's nothing going on anyway. So let's just like, hey, let's throw wrestling in there and see what happens.
And that's probably why they're giving them Wednesday.
And something you got to be careful of is it's a North End bar. It might have tough clientele. You have a heel who's not legitimately tough going out there and getting on the stick to beak off. pissing off the locals, and they, who's going to fight your way out of it, right? The last time I remember weekly wrestling, was Teddy Bob's the last time someone tried weekly?
Oh, yeah, I think Wayne was doing Teddy Bob's on Tuesdays, I believe, in 2003.
Okay, so he nothing in 2009 or 10?
No.
Okay, so then definitely it was probably Dylan's on Pemina.
Andrew was the last.
So it's going to be interesting to see, like, I wish you luck, but...
$10 tickets.
See, I have a
problem. Is it weekly? Because on that poster, I did not see anything weekly on that poster.
What I saw was an announcement that he's going Wednesday nights. It's called Neon Lights and Bar Fights. Again, Manitoba Liquor Commission might have something to say about that. The advertising seems to indicate that local tough guys should come down and get into shoots in the crowd.
Isn't this sponsored by Energy 106?
No, that was a different poster. And I think there was lawyers involved saying, get that logo off of there.
Yeah.
You gotta
just leave that one.
Yeah, there. You gotta be careful. Like if somebody put a Bee Gees logo on a poster and said Bee Gees talks about us, I would actually say please take that off too. Long story short, I think wrestling promoters who do bar shows already hurt their product because it's not like Danny swears by what they do at Rookies, but it's never you're pigeonholing yourself to an 18-plus show.
Well, I think with Danny, in Danny's defense, with Rookies, that's used more as like a training ground show to try new things, get guys some reps, stuff like that. It's not like...
He runs enough out of town. Just find a place like Porter's La Prairie and run the odd week. Like,
fair. But I mean, it gives you people, like warm bodies that you can work in front of. And usually it's a pretty good house there. Usually you have like 100 people there. So, and they make sound, right? So
so I'm looking at the poster right now. It doesn't mention weekly at all.
Well, because he's taking the 15th off so that all his boys can go watch the show at Canada Life Center.
It says Wednesday, March 8th, 2023, Greenbrier Inn. That's all there is. Tickets are $10.
I saw a post from the Greenbrier, though, saying wrestling's coming Wednesday nights. Like, yeah. And I know that the video he said is they're going weekly.
Yes, yes. The video did say that. I'm just looking at the poster right now, just for clarification.
So let's move on. I hate that we don't have something very positive to talk about local today. Because it's clear I don't think Greenbrier Wrestling Weekly is a great idea. And you know I don't think 3DGW, 3D Garbage Reject. Wrestling, 3D Reject Wrestling, I don't think that's anything positive to talk about. I guess the only thing I could say positive right now is next Friday night, this Friday night, Winnipeg Pro Wrestling's back at West End Cultural Center. Are you going to go to that?
Are we going
Yes,
to
I'll go.
Okay, March 3rd. Are you 3rd? Going? Is that right? March 3rd?
Yeah, yes. Next Friday.
Yes.
This Friday.
Okay. I'm in for that.
That's actually, the anniversary of what we're going to talk about a little bit later, true. The Eddie Guerrero show.
I'm actually really looking forward to this WPW show because I've never been.
And you saw the finish between Shank and AJ, and that's a hot crowd.
I don't really care much about the action in the ring. What I'm going there to observe is the presentation, the aesthetics, the overall ambiance of the show. That's what I'm really looking forward to.
You're going
to
leave endorsing it.
You're going to like it then, I would say.
Yeah,
because excellent ambiance, totally different type of crowd than you're used to at a wrestling show. You're not going to see the same old.
And that's what I hear. So I'm going to be I'll be observing everything very closely.
And to be fair, we've talked about everyone else. Danny Duggan's CWE has Eric Rowan coming in at the end of March.
That's a big name.
Oh, I mean, huge.
A lot of people are really excited about that one.
The problem with this for Danny is Eric Rowan's going to dwarf the entire roster.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you going to do?
Have Adam Knight come back and slap him.
He'll cut a very dismissive promo. The problem is Danny loves to have the big name job out. So it's going to be very unbelievable.
Who would you book Eric Rowan with on that crew?
Locally?
Yep.
I would have him destroying Rob Stardom and Rob Stardom continue to kick out and make a name for himself just on his ability to keep fighting.
Well, that's a great idea.
That's what I would do.
See, I thought... immediately what you were joking about, bring back Adam Knight for a match with
I was joking.
I will tell you this, as mad as I am about 3D, if they bring Adam Knight in and give him a name, I will start calling CWE something different than Canadian Wrestling.
Danny, elite. You heard it here, that is a challenge.
But that's what I would do. I would do Rob Stardom against him, and I would have Rowan just destroying Stardom, but Stardom keeps kicking out. And much like when TJ Bratt turned babyface when Vance Nevada turned on him and Damon and DiCaprio beat and beat and beat and beat on him, it made TJ Bratt a babyface. You can make Rob Stardom a very sympathetic babyface by his ability to keep getting up and keep taking more, even if he loses, which I would have him lose.
For sure.
Because the sympathy is on him if he actually does lose.
Then he's earned his respect.
Yeah, he doesn't need to win.
And he's also a 25-year vet, so you're talking about how this should end his career, the beating he took. right? But he comes back and he says he's a better man for it.
I think you've just booked their show for them.
They won't. I love Kevin Cannon, but Marty Goldstein's in that booking committee, and Marty Goldstein will say if Mike Davidson came up with it, it is not a good idea.
Well, Marty Goldstein came up with a good trivia question last week. So.
No, it was the question was, what are our favorite belts? I've heard Marty might have put in another question, but he may not get drawn from the mailbag. Okay, so now we're going to move on to mainstream. What are we at for time, producer Chris?
We've got 18 minutes.
18 minutes, so we got about 7
another
or 8 minutes.
3 or 4 hours.
Yeah. So your buddy, Dave Meltzer, has named your hero. Oh, there's one other local note I'll get back to.
You're gesturing at both of us. Yeah.
Tony Khan.
This is radio, not television.
Tony Khan is the wrestling promoter of the year and the booker of the year. It's 4 years in a row as wrestling promoter of the year, and it's 3 years in a row as booker of the year. And as I vomit, because I'll tell you who should have won booker of the year. Triple H took over in August. The product went from stale, stagnant, and with nobody had any pulse. Yeah, nobody had any faith in WWE's ability to pivot to something better. And Triple H had an immediate impact and made the brand significantly better. Now, anytime a booking change happens in the old school, and even now, when you change a booker, you want to hear that the people got re-energized or ignited off of it. Triple H managed to do that. He was the booker of the year.
Not just with the main roster. He also took over NXT and basically didn't go back to the quote-unquote black and gold, but went away from that NXT 2.0, the failed experiment, and went back to better matches.
Yeah.
Now, we're not at TakeOver-level shows, but went back to that formula, which I think was a good move as well. So Triple H, 100%. Was it the whole year? No, but in the last 5-6 months, that guy has turned that company around. Houses are up.
Yeah.
Ratings are up. People are engaged. I mean, look at Elimination Chamber a few weeks ago. Look at the response. Biggest gate in Montreal.
Product's hotter than the WWE product is as hot as it's been in 10 years.
Absolutely.
And it's thanks to one change. Triple H became booker. I would argue that there, before Tony Khan gets it for the third time, a guy who safely continued to build his company and didn't, there was nothing radically right about it, but nothing wrong about it, was Court Bauer with Major League Wrestling. They didn't make any mistakes. They were, as a booker, he stuck the course. He survived the pandemic. He came out of the pandemic. He's grown his company since then, thanks to being a consistent booker. I would argue Tony Khan doesn't qualify because he can't get money on any of his champions. He can't draw money matches off any of his top guys. John Moxley's making $6 million a year.
That's ridiculous.
Kenny Omega makes $3 million. Chris Jericho makes $3 million. How do you justify that Moxley's worth double everyone else on the roster? Like, if that number I saw was legit, and I'll share it to social media. But that is crap. And Tony Khan, as Booker of the Year, he just has the most chips, because every time a chip comes available, he'll bid highest to get it, except for Sasha Banks, who he hasn't figured out how to get from New Japan. I would argue going into 2023, if the trend continues, Scott D'Amore is already laying the foundation to a great year for Impact. And I want to see those peripherals get it. And I know you said when we were off air, Impact doesn't have enough eyeballs on the product. You're right. Major League Wrestling doesn't have enough eyeballs on the product. This should not be a fan voting thing, because more fans watch AEW and they watch WWE and they pick between the two.
Yeah, but remember, when these fanboys vote for these types of things, these are like newsletter
exactly type
neck beards. Yeah,
they're gonna like, vote for whatever Dave wants them to vote for. Yeah. And so, that's why it's a ridiculous. That's what I wanted to get to, is that I think the award in general is ridiculous, because there's only two horses in the race. The worst you can do is second.
Yeah.
And that's like, the worst you can do.
And the cool thing to do is say WWE is not cool, right? Like, no, I'll be honest with you. I don't miss either program. I watch everything. And for a long time, I was more engaged in the AEW product because it was more entertaining.
And had a spontaneous feel to it.
Yeah, it felt very much like Nitro back in 97. But now, WWE, I would say, has way more to offer right now. I find AEW a little bit flat, to be honest with you. Like, Bryan Danielson, against MJF doesn't interest me.
It should have been a money match, but because he failed to build it properly.
Yeah.
Well, see, some of the stuff you mentioned just a little bit ago about bar wrestling and stuff like that, it applies a little bit to AEW because you had guys doing crazy high spots.
They get a lot of juice on that show, a lot of blood on that show.
Bananas amount of high spots, and on weekly television, they're doing crazy high spots that would be pay-per-view spots.
Look at Darby Allin. Yeah. That guy's not going to be walking in 2 years.
Sammy Guevara, too. He's an insane person, and they're doing these crazy spots. And I said to you at another wrestling show, I think when they first started, it's like they're gonna have to be doing a 450 splash with a machine gun soon, because
so you know, though, WCW in the mid to late 90s, like 96 era, proved that you can have car crash lucha matches to warm up your show.
Yeah.
And then you can go to angles.
There's a place for it, for
yes,
sure.
There's a formula to it. Nobody understands that booking with a formula actually allows you to condition your audience. Nobody does it. Oh, it's formulaic. It's very routine. Formulaic booking can work if you understand what your people's mindset is. I'll tell you, I learned this when working with Saxon. I learned it to a degree with Liam, and I knew it when I booked weekly bar wrestling. If you know what they talk about, when you know what they're talking about when they're not at the show, the day after, the day before, that's your review and preview. So what they tell you the next day that they remember and what they tell you they're looking forward to, that is the main angle. And it doesn't matter. Like, a lot of guys never understood this when I booked PCW in 2002. Well, Mentolo and Omega are the most talented guys on the show. I understand that. I never, ever disputed that. But I knew that they talk about what Chi-Chi Cruz did, what Mecca did, what MVP did. That's what they talked about the day after and the day before. So you have to give them what they're talking about. Oh, but like, Mike doesn't like the guys that have work rate. That's not true. I love the guys that have work rate. But
you have to be able to get it done in the ring.
Exactly.
But there has to be...
Leave an impression.
Right. What do they remember? They're not going to remember, hey, did you see that drop to hold that guy? Nobody cares.
And nobody...
Like, wrestling is a backdrop for the story.
Yes.
And that's it. People don't understand that. It's like, it's just a means to telling the story. Yeah. Now, you have to be capable in the ring.
Right.
You have to be qualified, and you can't be a schlub in the ring. You need to be able to handle yourself. But it's the story. It's the way you make people feel by what they're watching. It's that emotional investment. And frankly, will they pay money to come back and see that person the next time?
Exactly. Now, why WWE is hot right now, and nobody knows just how hot they are, is that storyline of Roman Reigns, Sami Zayn.
Masterpiece.
They've done it perfectly.
Masterpiece.
Now you have people debating Sami Zayn should be the champion. Cody, they kind of don't really want... I think by majority, there's a lot of people that don't want Cody to beat Roman Reigns.
Here's the thing. The fans want Sami. The office wants Cody. I think there's a way to give them both of those things.
You know what I would do? I would try to figure out a way to get out of it with Roman on top and let the fans reinforce what they want one more time. If you can delay it one more cycle and then you have Sami do it when no one thinks he can do it, great.
Like, here's the thing. Sami wins at Elimination Chamber in Montreal. Great. It's a good story for one night. Where do we go?
Yeah. Well, you peak him too early.
I think, exactly. People think, oh, you know, Sami needed to win at Elimination Chamber. And I don't agree with that at all. Remember, the Royal Rumble was 3 weeks before that pay-per-view.
Yeah.
So we're talking a 3 week build to a payoff?
No.
It's too soon.
Yeah.
Way too soon. I mean, they were in Montreal. They'll be back in Montreal.
Yeah.
It's too early. Keep it on Reigns. Stay the course.
I invite you to look back at Steve Austin winning from Shawn Michaels. The product was getting hot. Brett left in November. Nobody thought the product was going to get hotter and hotter. Two cycles. They go to Rumble. They get Mike Tyson.
That was the pivot point.
Yeah. They get Mike Tyson. Then Steve Austin wins the Rumble. Mike Tyson gets involved. And now it's Austin versus Michaels, where you have the underlying story. Well, Michaels agreed to do business. Steve Austin is so hot.
Tyson is the referee. Yeah, that was the most important
WrestleMania
in company history.
And they didn't want Steve Austin to win the title. They needed Steve Austin to win the title. And I'm not saying the office. I'm saying the fans in the crowd, they needed Steve Austin to win the title. That's when the heel drops the belt. When the fans are sitting there and they need it. They don't want it. They're not sitting there debating on who should win it. They need this baby face to win this match.
I don't know WWE can carry it off anymore.
Oh, yes, they can.
Can they?
If Roman Reigns comes out of Mania pinning Cody.
I hope he does.
Yes. Yep. Then you have them going.
No,
they're never going to.
I mean, keeping Sami Zayn hot.
Listen how they do it. you go into Mania, everyone expects a title flip at Mania. You have Roman Reigns come out clean as champion and go on Monday Night Raw the next night talking about how every challenger couldn't live up. Sami Zayn, who will by that point, when Cody loses, people will all go be behind Sami, right? Then you, I would never defend against Sami Zayn again. I beat him already. He can't beat me for the title. And then you have the heel be a bit of a chicken shit and avoid the rematch with Sammy. And you build, you can maybe, if you have good creative, you can stretch that to SummerSlam with sure. Sammy chasing it.
Oh, no, I believe it can be done. Or I don't believe that they're
you
capable.
Know what you do? You get a much, they are capable. Trust me. I'm
Triple H is capable.
You have a Montreal.
Paul Heyman is capable.
You have a Montreal house show with Sammy versus Roman, and you do it at a house show, so you change the entire way you do business,
yeah.
And you have Sammy win it, and it not be a fluke where he drops it back right away. He's the new champion. You start an era with him, but you have to go all in on him, and the people have to need it. They don't want it. You have to create the need, not the want, and that's what they need to do. I don't think that they're going to do it. I think they're going to cave and give it to Cody. I think that's a mistake. Cody failed in All Elite because all roads led to Cody. And everything for Mania has all roads leading to Cody, and he's not strong enough to carry it.
But Paul Heyman's done a great job with the promos, and you'll notice they were very deliberate with Cody basically endorsing Sammy, saying, I'll see you at WrestleMania. So it's almost like, okay, Cody likes Sammy too, so we're not going to boo Cody, right? So,
yes.
And I hope the fans aren't like...
Well, that's called pandering.
I know, but I hope the fans aren't assholes with this Cody thing because let's call it the way it is. They ruined him in AEW.
He ruined himself in AEW.
Well, I don't know about that.
Are you kidding me?
I don't think he ruined himself.
So every program he tried to do, and he put his wife on TV all the time.
Okay,
and
there was
just
that.
Like, I'll be honest, Kenny Omega has ruined himself in AEW. If I'm Kenny Omega, his contract's up in November. I'm telling Tony right now, I don't think I plan to resign with you. I plan to go back to New Japan because then you put pressure on Tony to think of. I think the problem with Cody and Kenny in both cases, they mimic each other. They get too much creative on themselves. When a guy has to write his own creative, what he sees as masterpiece is because he can't step outside and look at it from the outside looking in. That's what happened to Cody in All Elite. That's what's happening with Kenny in All Elite well, now.
It's not like Cody booked himself to do, like, he was doing jobs all the time. I think that...
It doesn't matter if you win or lose. That's the remember when he cut that promo where he said he had a focus group? Remember that? There was a famous focus group promo where he said, we've done focus groups.
Yes, I remember yes. that, yeah.
And it was awful. His promos, like, because he saw himself a certain way and tried to... lead himself to what he saw, it never translated with fans. Right now with Heyman and Triple H, they're probably collaborating a lot on where this goes.
They're pulling the strings.
Exactly.
On this one.
I would let Paul Heyman book everything, but knowing that that doesn't work, Paul Heyman booking Roman Reigns' stuff, he will know how to create the need for Roman to lose it. That's what they need to do.
They'll do the right thing with this angle. I think that
the right thing, in my opinion, is Roman comes out of Mania with both belts.
And I think that's what happens.
I don't think so. I think it is the right thing to do. I don't think they do it. I think they give it to Cody because they've got so much invested in him. They might feel like we can't cut bait on him.
What do they have invested in him?
A giant salary, number one.
They have a giant salary on everybody.
Number two, they started pushing as the heir apparent the second he walked through the door. He didn't have to earn anything. He was the heir apparent the second he signed with the company.
Well, I mean, he worked with Rollins for three consecutive shows, then he got hurt, and then he came back. I mean, he won the Royal Rumble at number 30. I mean,
bad move. That should have been number seven.
It was already something they're talking about. They're already talking about it.
And that's why I think it's too soon for Cody. Is he going to get the title? Of course he is. But I think it is too soon.
I agree. No, I agree. I think he will get it, though.
You know how I would split the title if I was WWE? I'd have Roman throw one in the garbage. It's too much pressure having both.
Well, we talked about this before we went on the air. You know, they could also, instead of split the title, people want Sammy, people want Cody. They could do Sammy on the Saturday night at WrestleMania. Roman defends the championship. And then the Sunday, whoever is the winner, because Cody did win the Royal Rumble, he is entitled to that title shot at WrestleMania. They could do that.
And and that's exactly what they should do anyways, because you, now, when you win the Rumble, you only get one title shot.
And if they had a commissioner, you only get kind of like Jack the commissioner's Tunney. Like sticking it to Roman Reigns.
You only get one shot at the belt.
You only show up every other week, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it kind of similar to what they did at WrestleMania 10, where they did the coin flip.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you what they need to do.
Adam Pearce can be that heavy.
What they need to do.
He could.
Yep. Saturday night, do a disputed finish where Sammy ends up the new champion, but Roman has a legitimate gripe that he didn't lose it. Then you need the Jack Tunney character, because that's the only one that did it well. Trust me, there was never a commissioner after Jack Tunney who did it properly. Say at...
Well, only was Gorilla Monsoon, I think. That was the only other commissioner.
Well, didn't they... They've used over Teddy
Mick
Long.
Foley all of the, and all these guys.
But a legitimate figurehead... This would actually be a spot for Vince, if you ask me.
By the way, the Gorilla Monsoon AI is tremendous.
I share them all on Twitter. Yeah. But so here's how I would do it. Disputed finish. Roman has a claim. Sammy's the champion as presented by the referee. Vince McMahon goes to live feed on Twitter and Facebook and says, as chairman of the board, I believe Roman has a gripe. I believe Sammy has a gripe. So Sunday night, or tonight at night two of WrestleMania, Cody, Sammy, Roman, triangle match. Winner takes all. And then you can come out of Mania with any one of the three.
I like the two nights idea better.
Yeah, because with that, it works. But like, there's a lot happening. What if you didn't get night one? What if you only ordered night two?
You're kicking yourself and you buy the replay.
Maybe, but like, you almost need like... that to marinate on television before they pull the trigger.
Yeah, you sell both nights that way.
Then the other thing is you can split the belts by doing that terrible, like a really controversial finish where you have basically the decision comes down from Vince that.
Yeah, but then you're getting Vince back involved in creative. And
I think you get Vince on TV right now, it creates, or you use his.
No. I don't know.
I don't think so. Nope.
Well, who else are you going to use? The chairman of the board or Triple H is the booker? Because it's got to be your major power.
If those are the two options, Triple H, because Vince should not ever be on TV again.
What if you do this and you have Triple H says one thing and H and Vince says the other, and that's how you split the belts?
It's getting too convoluted now.
It's not convoluted. That's actually, it makes sense why you would split the belts. How else are you splitting the belts? One guy is going to lose one match and you're going to split the belts? He only lost one belt?
Yes, because so then with the Royal Rumble, you get one shot at one belt.
Okay, so hold on. So you now have Paul Heyman as the swarmy heel saying we're only defending one belt. Angle alert, he's losing one of the belts.
You don't have to do it that. Have Sami Zayn come out and say, "Look,
you're not tying it together."
But you know what else is foolish is that it's the undisputed WWE Universal Heavyweight Championship. Are there two belts?
No,
there should only be one.
Exactly,
but there are two. There's basically
there are two. All right, championship.
But there's per show. The only reason they're together is because he's won them both.
Maybe Cody wins it, brings back the Winged Eagle. I'm happy.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what he wants to do.
For a podcast that was never supposed to talk about big league
wrestling,
this was good. I do want to mention one last local note. Our friend of the show, Curtis Howson, First Row Collectibles, and their friend, CS Collectibles, are co-hosting two separate autograph sessions at two different locations. Chris's favorite wrestler, Danhausen, is one of the two wrestlers, and the other one is All Ego, Ethan Page. It's going to be Tuesday, March 14th, the day before AEW Dynamite in Winnipeg.
Luther?
It starts at 5 p.m.
No Luther.
No Luther. Sad are you about that?
Very sad about Luther and Don Callis not being...
Are you going to go to this?
I am. I'm going to go check it out. Both those individuals, by the way, will be doing their vlogs on site.
Oh, right.
So lots of fans of the vlogs, of Danhausen's vlog, for example...
Maybe take some video while you're there and snap some pictures. I'm going to actually send you a special order from our friend Dave Cote to get a couple of autographs there. And I think it's great that Curtis and First Row Collectibles and CS Collectibles are able to pull this off. You think about it, when WWE comes to town, there's not many appearances for autographs. Danhausen's a big star. I don't see it, but...
He's very evil.
And All Ego Ethan Page, he's going to be a mega star. Check it out. Congratulations to Curtis Howson, First Row Collectibles, and CS Collectibles for hosting this. I hope it's a massive success for both stores. Yeah. Coming up after the break, we're going to talk Main Event Munchies trivia, and we're going to talk about probably the most successful independent wrestling show in the history of Winnipeg. It's coming up on a 21-year anniversary for that show.
This episode of the Total Bees Cheese Show is powered by FirstRow.ca, Canada's online collectible store where you'll find the coolest sports cards, autographs from your favorites, action figures, and of course, wrestling collectibles galore. As a loyal Total Bees Sheesh Show listener, you can get 10% off your order using the code BEESSHEESH. Again, the code is BEESSHEEZ, one word, and receive 10% off your order. FirstRow.ca, Canada's online collectible store.
The Total Bees Sheesh Show releases new episodes every Monday. Follow the Total Bees Sheesh Show on Twitter at Total Bees Sheesh, on Instagram at Total Bees Sheesh, or search us on Facebook, Total Bees Sheesh.
Main Event Munchies. It is the best pretzel locally made ever. It is amazing. It's available in more and more places. You can actually pick it up at Primo's Collectibles Store on Portage Avenue. And it's available at what?
Lavarandre Bowl on Des Muron.
Yeah. And it's available at a few wrestling shows now. Jay Gagne is doing a good job getting it out there. Last week, the trivia question was for a bag of Main Event Munchies. Who was the special guest referee of the first SummerSlam when it was the Mega Bucks versus the Mega Powers? The answer, Jesse Ventura, second week out of three that he was the answer. And our winner for that one was Brad Sarna. So, Brad, I'm going to be connecting with you to give you a bag of Main Event Munchies. I'll probably just come to where you work and just drop them off, I guess, because that's how good I am, how nice a guy I am. This week's trivia question involves Eddie Guerrero. Coincidentally, the question is, when Eddie Guerrero left WCW for WWE, who were the three other guys who left with him?
Ooh.
Yes, you need to name all three. And if you can do that, and you're the first guy to do it on social media, make sure you include the handle at Total Bees Sheesh if it's Twitter or Instagram or Facebook at the Total Bees Sheesh Show, or use the hashtag Main Event Munchies on all three of those.
Main Event Munchies. What are you eating? Are you eating something?
I got mints in my mouth. I had cotton mouth in the last segment.
I noticed last show you sounded very dry.
Yeah.
Very dry.
Well, I think it's the room. And it's because I'm getting hot and then I'm foaming at the mouth when I get mad.
Piping hot.
Talking about 3D garbage wrestling.
You weren't going to say their name.
3J.
Well, I'm going to, you know what, search them on, if you want to buy tickets to the show, search them, 3D Garbage Wrestling. This guy's going to file a lawsuit, and I don't care. I will defend that lawsuit for the good of the wrestling business.
You got ramped up again.
I
didn't mention it.
I will defend myself for the good of the wrestling business.
We're talking about pretzels here.
Yeah. Speaking of pretzels, if you win a bag of Main Event Munchies, you're not going to want to share them with people, but you should. Share them with your coworkers.
Yeah.
Share them with me. I haven't even seen a bag of these Main Event Munchies. That's true.
Well, there you go. So, yes, the trivia question, once again, is Eddie Guerrero left WCW in 2000. Who were the three guys who left with him to go from WCW to WWE?
These are kind of some softball questions. I think I got to start coming up with some.
Sit at home and write up a bunch of
I'm
questions.
I'm going to write up some questions, and I'm going to come.
Mecha Shane specialty.
Yeah.
And these will be hard.
They'll be perfect.
These will be ones that even it would be challenging to find answers for on Google. I already have one for the following week.
And then is this your way of the bag that's allocated to the winner going to you because nobody can solve your great questions?
So any unclaimed Main Event Munchies are coming over to Sage Creek.
How Machiavellian of you.
All right.
What can I say?
Last week we talked about our experiences with Lex Luger and Buff Bagwell, and a lot of people loved our stories.
A juicer.
Now, this Friday night, March 3rd, marks not only the Winnipeg Pro Wrestling Show at the West End Cultural Center, which is going to be a good time. We're going to be there. We'll sign autographs. No, we won't. We don't want to hijack the show. But 21 years before, March 3rd, 2002, marks the, and outpatient Warren Qualson asked this question, and we were going to put it in the mailbag, but we decided we'll just fit it into this segment of the show. The best, he asked, what was the highest attended independent show that we know of? Now, I know in the 80s, Candelo is reported to have drawn a lot for Bulldog Bob Brown versus Bruiser Brody. And I think that was in 1986 at the Winnipeg Arena. I would have to do a lot of homework on that because it was before my time. March 3rd, 2002, at Investors Group Athletic Center on the U of M campus, Premier Championship Wrestling kind of had their coming out party, their launch of sorts. And it was called Commencement of Cool. And on that show, he was main evented by Eddie Guerrero against Playboy Will Damon. Now, the attendance was initially reported at 1,500 and some. It was later adjusted based on the venue manager named Barry Stone saying, how many people do you have on the floor? And we said we had, I believe we had 400. And the floor was full, so that would mean 400. And he looked at his grandstand and he said, well, there's 1,500 seats up there, and I would say 1,100. I think he said there's more than 1,200 full or something. And that's how we came to the number 1,700 and some. It's a disputable number. It was over 1,500 in the
building. Big.
And it could have been easily 1,700.
Better than some AEW TVs, right?
Yes. Nowadays. And top in the standing area, there was also people standing looking down.
So Shirley was up there.
Yeah, I will never.
Falling down the stairs.
She did, actually, didn't she? There was an ambulance. Oh, let's not laugh.
Good memory.
We need to talk about that.
There was 17. Like, I will always say to Andrew, hey, you can have this.
Whose phone is that?
That's mine.
Turn the ringer off.
Thing on
1,700 is. I'm fine with Andrew bragging about it because, see, Andrew will always say later on when AWE and WFX drew good houses, well, it doesn't matter. PCW drew the best. Well, it was his first show ever. Andrew's first show as a co-promoter was his peak. I'm willing to give him that one because. How we came to that show had a lot to do with how PCW was formed, which was Will Damon, Mecca Shane, and John Newen getting together and saying, like John saying, maybe I want to invest in wrestling, and Madison and Damon saying, well, you need Mike Davidson to do it. And me realizing that we needed the weekly venue and the best way to, and it wasn't a guarantee by any stretch, but Andrew being a part of the power structure allowed us to have an advocate to get the Palladium away from Bobby J. And Andrew's always kind of had a grievance that he brought more to the table than just the venue. Well, what do you think the most important thing to bring to the table was? You know, the venue, which, you know, he should never look down on that being a reason why he was included in the power structure. He deserved to be in the power structure. To talk about Andrew properly, you have to talk about the great things about him. He's a funny individual, passionate, stubborn. If he believes something, he sticks to it. But now we want to talk about Eddie Guerrero's involvement in that March 3rd show. A lot went into that show. The big thing was originally who's going to be the main event. Like John wanted to know, who am I getting? Because I had originally sold him it was going to be Macho Man Randy Savage, which I had no way of getting. I was bullish. I was bee-sheezing. And so it came down to initially it was going to be Mr. Perfect Kurt Hennig. And we went hard for Kurt, who had no-showed for Tony Candelo a year before. And we really tried to get Kurt, like that was the guy. And then at the Royal Rumble that year, he went into the Rumble and made it to the Final Four. And I remember Andrew and I were sitting there watching it at Cineplex on the big screen going, this is going to be great. We got Kurt and he's just, and then the next day they announced he signed a contract with WWE and we had no hope. Then the debate became, should we book Jeff Jarrett or should it be, you know, I remember you guys convincing me that Eddie Guerrero was a better draw than Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah, I remember you talking about Jeff Jarrett, and I remember we were like, no, we got to go Eddie Guerrero on this one, because he was, again, Ring of Honor had just started. He, you know, was booked with Ring of Honor, and let's just kind of back up. Eddie Guerrero was released from WWE at the time because he had
personal issues,
perhaps, you know, some drug issues, which have been well documented. So he's really done a good job to clean himself up
at that point. Yeah.
And, you know, he was a hot commodity on the independent scene.
He was told by Jim Ross when they released him, clean it up, get out there. And if we get good reports, then we'll definitely bring you back.
And I remember having a conversation with him afterwards with him. I think we talked about this on a prior show where he had said to me something to the effect of, well, I'll be, cause we knew we were coming back in July. Yeah. And he's like, you know, I'm going to bring Ray next time. I'm thinking, who? Ray who? And he's like, Ray Mysterio. And I remember I looked at him and I go, get the fuck out of here. And he says to me, he goes, what do you mean? No, I'll bring Ray Mysterio. I go, you ain't going to.
You're going back is what you thought.
Yeah. You're not going to be on the independent scene in July. And again, next month, wins the Intercontinental title from Rob Van Dam.
Yeah. And he within a month of being on the PCW Commencement of Cool show, he was back in WWF, debuting on Raw, surprise.
But just what a great guy.
So humble.
Oh my gosh. Just like just a phenomenal guy.
Worked with Will Damon, they didn't know each other. And he put in 25 minutes. He made Dan look like $1 million. And everyone always said, and rightfully so, Kenny Omega or Mentolo should have been the guy in that match. Now think about how much the value of that tape would be if it was Kenny Omega versus Eddie Guerrero.
John wanted it to be me.
Yeah. And John Newen had put his foot down and he said, if we're going to, the first name who comes in has to work Will Damon or Rebecca Shane. And you looked at it and said you'll have a better match with Eddie. Now, had it been Mr. Perfect or Jeff Jarrett, I would argue you would have been the better match for either one of those two.
And we were supposed to get Mr. Perfect, I believe, in November.
Reflection of Perfection.
Reflection of Perfection. Yeah. And the poster, remember the old Shane McMahon, Vince McMahon?
Yeah, it was going to be cut down the middle.
Yeah, yeah, the old Invasion poster with half of Vince's
face, yeah,
half of Shane's face. It was supposed to be half of my face, half of Perfect's face. And that, Mr. Perfect was my childhood hero.
Yeah.
He's the reason why I wore a singlet when I first started wrestling, because I just thought Mr. Perk was awesome.
If we could have pulled off that November show for PCW in that first year, we would have done Guerrero in March, LOD in July, Perfect in November.
Maybe Bret Hart as well, too.
Yeah.
If he, well, had, you know.
Yeah, if Bret hadn't had the stroke.
And what did Kurt say to us? Remember? Remember what he wanted to? We're getting a little off topic. So this is a funny story.
Yeah, I call Kurt, and I've probably told this story before, but it's worth telling again. So I get Kurt Hennig's phone number from a promoter who used him in the States, and he says, call him. He doesn't answer his phone much. And I call him on a Friday night, and it rings, and it rings. And I let it ring for 10 minutes. And finally, he answers, and you could tell he'd been having a good time drinking. And he's like, hey. And I said, I'm looking for Kurt Hennig. You got him. And I said, oh, it's Mike Davidson calling from Winnipeg. And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah, okay. And he was having a good time. And I said, hey, Kurt, I want to book you in for a show in November. And he's like, where? And I said, Winnipeg. And he's like, oh. He's like, oh, yeah. When? November 10. Oh, I'm supposed to be buck hunting in International Falls. He's like, that's halfway. So I'm like, okay, this sounds amenable. He said, I could probably drive up. I was giddy. Yeah. He seems eager. He's like, yeah, I could drive up from International Falls and drive back down the next day. He's like, yeah. He's like, this could work. And I said, okay, can we close the deal? Can I announce this? And he's like, well, don't be so fast. I said, what? He's like, well, I need to know I'm going to bag a buck. And I said, what? Well, I'm hunting. Like, I'm not going to want to take a day off hunting if I haven't bagged a buck yet. I said, okay, hold it. You're not going to know until the day of if you've bagged a buck yet. Yeah. So if you don't, you're going to no show? He's like, well, I'm not going to break the hunting trip up if I haven't bagged a buck.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how can I advertise you? And he's like, chances of me not bagging a buck in the first 3 days are very low.
Well, he's Mr. Perfect. Of course he's going to bag a buck.
So I call Andrew and I said, hey, I just talked to Kurt Hennig. Okay, what? Well, he's willing to drive up. This is great. We were going to announce it right then and there.
But hold on. I think he said to you also, I think you said to him, well, how do I know if you're not going to bag a buck? And then he kind of said, Mike, I'm going to bag a buck.
Yeah. He was like, he was very reassuring.
He's Mr. Perfect.
Yeah. He was very reassuring that he did not.
Hilarious.
He basically believed if I see a buck, I'm going to bag a buck.
Yeah.
So I call Andrew and I was like, so I talked to Kurt Hennig. Okay. What'd he say? He said he's going to be in International Falls hunting and he's willing to drive the rest of the way. So we're like giddy. And I said, but he said, if he doesn't bag a buck, he's not going to show. And Andrew's like, what the Andrew's like, piece of shit. Like what happens? And basically what I was thinking, like, what if he doesn't bag a buck?
And or we should probably tell people how far International Falls is. From
I think here. It's a 4-hour drive. Isn't it on the, it's on the border of like Thunder I think International Falls is on the Ontario, Minnesota border.
I'll find it.
Yeah. It's not that far of a drive. It's halfway from Minneapolis to Winnipeg, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, so that's where it was left. And that's
4 hours, 9 minutes from
there. Okay. So he would be halfway. And that's what he had said. Oh, I have no problem driving from International Falls. Anyway, so that's why Kurt never came in. The reason, so I'm going to talk about commencement of cool. And this is actually good. This ties into the question of work rate versus angle. And the angle that we presented as best we could over the internet to create hype on a match when we didn't have regular shows leading up to it was Will Damon was part of MVP, which was the biggest heel act the year before. He's going to be wrestling Eddie Guerrero. So it was easy to create the angle. Will Damon's a good heel. Eddie Guerrero's a good face. People want to see that match. Now, because it was kind of the first show launching pad for PCW, what did we do from there? So we did the opening match was the perfect opener. The first thing, there was not 1,700 fans of PCW or local wrestling at this point. They came because Eddie Guerrero was on the poster. They came because Honky Tonk Man versus Brutus Beefcake was on the poster in the newspaper and everything else. And it made them say, this is as good as big league wrestling. So what do we give them first? I could give them an angle. I could give them a promo. I could send out Chris Paris to talk. I could send you out. I'm not going to have someone talk first. We had to start with great action. And I went to Mentolo and I went to Kenny Omega. And I said, guys, you are the perfect thing for the fans to see for the first time at a local wrestling show. That's as good of endorsement as I can give to people, that they were the most valuable parts of our roster. And they delivered. Yep. Mentolo Omega was the best opener that we could have presented in front of 1,700 fans. And it's amazing because later that year, those guys both felt disenchanted that they didn't move up the card because they thought, oh, well, I'll tell you one of the reasons why Mentolo didn't move into that main event spot. Not because of his work, but because the way that that crowd was buying our ticket was based on the promo that built the main event. It was a formula and it worked. And Mentolo, for everything he does well, and it's countless, he is the most talented wrestler I probably have ever worked with. The one thing he does not do well is sell the match with a promo. His action sells the match. And the industry has changed in the last 21 years. But 21 years ago, if you couldn't back it with a promo, you probably couldn't go on top. And that's why he stayed in that best wrestler on the... Everyone knew he was the best wrestler on the roster. But without the promo, we couldn't get them to... He couldn't be the top draw. TJ Bratt could be a better draw than Mentolo at that time because he could talk them into the building. He was a perfect babyface for MVP and for you. Why did we go from there? This was the starting point of what the angle was laid out the minute I knew we were starting PCW, was we're going to have to break up MVP. And should Mecha Shane become the babyface or should Playboy Will Damon? Well, the people liked Will Damon more because he was cuter. Like, not cuter by looks.
He was like The Rock.
But his promos were entertaining. It will be easier to pivot him to become the top babyface. And that's where that would have went. That's where it eventually went, but it would have went a lot further.
And we used Guerrero to plant that seed, yes, to facilitate that turn, right, which the payoff was months later at Boiling Point.
Yes. So Will Damon gets made that night with Eddie Guerrero. And it's because of how unselfish Eddie Guerrero was. 21 years ago, I remember on this day exactly, 4 days going into, I'm getting the investor, John Nguyen, is coming to me saying, our advances are terrible. And I said, no, they're not.
Remember I sent you that picture? And I'm showing Mike, yes, Davidson a picture because I was at a Winnipeg Ice hockey game.
Athletic Center entrance.
And I was walking up to the Winnipeg Ice hockey game a few weeks ago and the entranceway, and there's this large window on top. And that's the window where we all sat there and we
watched
saw
them just come in waves.
Yeah. Waves and waves and waves of people coming to watch,
yeah,
us.
Yeah, doors opened at 6 o'clock. Show started at 7:30. And
we should post this picture.
Yes. It was amazing. It was an amazing rush because it validated what I had said when I met with John, the investor, saying local wrestling is here, but it's because the promoters love keeping it here. And much of what I said in 2001 is what I say today. Local wrestling promoters love to keep it at a manageable level for them. They never look at a bigger world.
And again, anything you and I, Mike, ever did in wrestling was whenever we like would leave somewhere to go to the next thing, it was always with the idea of, hey, we know we have the team here that can, yep, make it bigger, but the guy that we're working for now, he doesn't see it. So we're going to try and take it to the next level and then the next level and then the next level. Now, when you're doing that, it's really easy if something goes wrong to say, oh, you know, Mike, you failed. You failed at everything. Well, yeah, but you just kept spinning your wheels down here where you're trying to do something, yeah, bigger. Think bigger is
exactly
kind of what we were always trying to do.
You got to fail forward.
I just gave an advice to a 23-year-old about women. And I said, you got to swing for a home run every time. If you go up there planning to bunt, you're getting to first base. If you're not swinging for a freaking home run, you are never going to get one.
Who is this?
It's a guy I work with. His name's Pickle. It's the Pickle.
Shout out to Pickle.
Yeah. I like
hashtag
him,
yeah, Pickle.
So I was like, if you're not swinging for home runs, you got nothing. And it's a good thing you say that. After 2010 and WFX, how could I ever do anything again?
Well, you are. When you come back, we make your big return. We say this every week. We're waiting for the details.
I could not do better than what we fluked into in 2010. I didn't think 2010 was going to take off. I didn't think...
He just brushed me off there.
You did, yeah. I'm going back to tie it together. WFX in 2010, I didn't believe Jeff had the money, and he did, and then the CRA took it away. I didn't think he was going to move into the state studio. I didn't think the studio was going to work. There were so many things I fluked into something that worked. And basically it was just assembling the right roster and Liam doing the right things with it. In 2001, and what happened in 2002 is a lot of the same. I had made a presentation to John in August long weekend of 2001,
yep.
a month after I'd been fired.
Yep.
You told me, just shoot with him straight. Tell him what it's going to take. He's got the money. He's interested. I went there and I had a meeting with him and I said, 400 is the ceiling at the current level. I know we can do four times that. I thought we might even be able to do more, but I knew 1,000 plus was possible. But if you'd asked me on this day, 21 years ago, 4 days before the show, was there going to be 1,500 or 1,700? I would have said, we'll be lucky if we do 1,000. We did way better than I thought we were going to do. Guerrero was way more over than I thought he was.
Adam Knight sold 400 tickets.
Honky and Adam Knight returned 398 tickets of 400 he took. It was actually 250. And he kept turning them in. Every week he'd bring in a new batch of untouched tickets.
That's the best story.
And he eventually settled out with two sales.
I think DiCaprio was the big
DiCaprio mover. And Ronnie Attitude. Yep. And you, let me tell you about the teamwork that went into this.
Well,
event.
There's one thing I want to mention because, and I hate putting you over. Like I hate it because you put yourself over so.
I
well.
Never put myself.
But
over.
But you shortchange yourself by saying you fluked into it because part of being a good leader is having the right people.
Yeah.
And you hired the right people to the right talent.
Well,
people.
We assembled the best local team ever to that point.
So you deserve a little bit of kudos for that.
And the thing is that people don't consider in 2001 into 2002, Ryan Wood would have sold another 25 tickets if he's on that show. We left him behind because he had been a stooge for Bobby.
Vance Nevada
could not have sold tickets.
Well, we left him behind.
We strategically left Bobby behind. A roster. Because we could have scooped everybody and put Bobby out of business. But I wanted Bobby to look around and see that he pissed away the best team he ever had. Because his best thing he did was get to the Palladium. Then right as I build it to, as the booker, to very good business, he fired me because not everybody was having fun. And we should release the survey.
Yes, but Bobby J survey.
The one thing I will say, like Ronnie Attitude, I remember Ronnie coming to me and saying, I need a stack of posters. Ronnie and I went driving around and we went to Confusion Corner bus stop and postered it. He drove all over Winnipeg and postered on his own dime for gas, on his own time. And all he wanted is he said, I want, my parents think this is a big deal. I want this to be as successful as it can be. And that was the attitude of you. That was definitely my attitude. That was like Tom and Andrew were really proponents of it. Everyone bought in at the exact same time. And that's why it happened. The reason why you don't see that happen in local wrestling today, nobody buys in. Danny tried it with the Legends of Wrestling.
And by the way, guys in PCW, they were exclusive to PCW.
Yeah, you weren't
only see them at PCW.
And here's what exclusivity meant. I can't tell you you can't work there, but I sure shit can tell you you don't work here. So there's the line. If you're going to go over the line, I'm going to hold you to it. And I did. When Axe did it, when TJ Brad did it, who else did it to me?
A lot of guys just wanted to get on the big show and then they wanted to go wrestle for their buddy.
And then the minute they'd jump over, they'd always want to jump back.
That's
and
like it was TJ Brad because they're on the outside looking like, oh, the grass is pretty green over there. Yeah. It's like, guess what? The grass is green where you water it.
Imagine this. If I decide to pull Royce over at that time because we left him with Bobby, he sells 50 tickets because Guerrero's on the show. Mm-hmm. Like we could have easily got that up to 2,000 just on locals who could push the tickets. That show, I will always consider one of the brightest stars of my career. Like,
do you remember having the meeting at the hotel?
Yeah.
Where we had
Stanton, the guys started putting up their hands and arguing and Stanton shot them all down. This guy's a millionaire. Yeah. If you're not signing your contract, you're an idiot.
I remember Wayne said, you guys would be a fool if you're not taking advantage of this. He's like, I've been been around a long time and like,
this you're never going to see this. And the funny part was Stanton was at that meeting as Bobby's stooge. This is amazing.
But we knew he was there.
So Stanton was there specifically to report back to Bobby because Vance had called a few people. They didn't think that, like, they knew that there was a backer.
That was the day Zach Mercury got fired, too.
Yeah, because he looked over at DiCaprio's contract, saw DiCaprio had a few more dollars on it. Next day, sent me an email. I was going to settle it out with Merck.
What did Nguyen say, though?
Yeah, so I'm reading the email. So, right, like, you're sitting there, Chris, and I'm sitting here. That's where Andrew was sitting because that's how our office was. And so I get, Zach Mercury just sent an email. He's upset with his contract value because he says Donnie DiCaprio is making more than him. John said, it's simple. He's fired. I said, no. I can fix this because there's a guy who's a big ticket mover, right? Yeah. I said, no, I'll settle this out. And John said, hey, that's my computer. Hey, that's my chair. Get out of it. He goes into my Hotmail and writes back, thank you, you're fired.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like this
That
guy.
Was John's attitude was because John saw the dysfunction in local wrestling. much like Jeff Dick saw the dysfunction in local wrestling and said, hey, I'm a businessman. I'm willing to put a lot of money into this because these guys could be way better than what they're doing.
Yeah, John offered to get guys gym memberships.
Yeah, he was serious
like
on every level.
All sorts of stuff. And guys did not take him up on.
No, he was. His whole thing was.
God, I wish somebody would offer me a free gym membership.
Like his whole thing was he had us looking at the value of apparel so that guys would be outfitted when they came to shows. He thought of it like a pro sport in that he didn't. One of the things he noticed with locals, and I'm not going to isolate who he griped about, but he's like, some of those guys are showing up and they look worse than our fans.
Yeah.
And he was like, we got to look at track suits. We got to look at jackets. He said, I don't want any, he isolated one guy and he was real hard. He said, I don't want that guy on my show looking like that.
I know who you're talking about.
And I had to sit there and say, okay, I'll talk to him, you know? And he said, like the guys had to portray themselves as better.
Yeah.
And it was to their own benefit. But you know how many guys they bought in on Nguyen, but by Jeff Dick, they were like, no. And the problem was when Jeff talked to them, they could kind of see through Jeff a little bit, but all Jeff ever wanted was them to be as successful as possible.
That's why the guys
resisted
locally because they don't have what it takes to get to that next level.
And they never believe in it. Part of it is they don't believe in themselves.
Sure.
And that's why they don't believe in somebody who says we're going to do better.
And again, we're not saying you got to look like Bobby Lashley.
No,
look like you care. Look like you're a professional.
Yeah.
And that's all that we're like, look at a guy like Sami Zayn.
Yeah,
he's a 10 out of 10 on everything, except his look. He's probably a 6 out of 10.
Yeah.
But he's
come a long way to get to 6.
So, you know, if he's doing all right, you know what I mean?
So that will be the lasting legacy of March 3rd, 2020, or 2002. And you know what? If you're going to have a show on that anniversary date, Winnipeg Pro, the rematch of Bobby Schenk versus AJ Sanchez.
Is that the rematch?
Yep.
For the title?
I think so, yeah. I really hope that show is as successful as it ought to be. And you know what? You guys are stepping into a big legacy on that date. I hope it's as big as you guys hope it will be.
All right. Are you ready to move on, Mike?
Always.
It is time now for the Mary Brown's mailbag. Mary Brown's chicken, crave delicious.
Who has 14 Manitoba locations? Mary Brown's chicken. Who only uses Manitoba chicken? Mary Brown's chicken. And who only uses Manitoba-grown potatoes hand-cut in-store? I bet you've already guessed. Even Mary Brown's coleslaw is made fresh in store from whole carrots and cabbage. Download Mary Brown's app today and take advantage of money-saving deals and even a secret menu. You can order ahead to get your Mary Brown's faster. Mary Brown's chicken. Crave delicious.
Three questions this week in the Mary Brown's mailbag. Let's get right down to it. Oh, actually, no. Let's not get down to it. I saw a picture of you at Mary Brown's once again, Mr. G-Zweez.
Yes, like I'm a regular at Mary Brown's. I went again yesterday, and I got to tell you, I mean,
we're gonna post the picture because it's crazy.
It's ridiculous. As far as the chicken sandwich goes, if you've never had a Mary Brown's chicken sandwich, you need to go check it out because this chicken sandwich I got yesterday.
Post the picture.
I will post
with
the picture.
Your PWI shirt.
I'm not wearing a PWI shirt.
No,
today.
But last week you were supposed to post.
I'm wearing the Meltzer shirt this week. Next week.
All right.
But no, this chicken sandwich was massive. It's like I thought. I looked in the bag. I opened up the box. And it looked like they put a bunch of chicken strips like on this bun because there was all this chicken hanging out over the bun. And I go, did they screw up my order? Took the bun off. Nope. It's just
one big
massive chicken patty.
Mecca-sized Big Mary.
It's not like these like, you know, other fast food
joints.
Don't
say names.
Of course not. I'm not going to dignify those guys. But, you know, little tiny little burger.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, no, this is a giant, fresh, breaded.
Real chicken because they do it right there in the store.
Man.
It's so good.
All right.
So good.
All
Big
right.
Mary.
That's a big putover. Mecca-sized putover for Mary Brown's Big Mary.
That's where I'm going when I'm done with you clowns.
You got a Tinder hookup.
Oh, maybe I'll have to do that. Well,
that's what I
perhaps.
This guy, if anyone wondering what this guy's phone's buzzing, his Tinder's
blowing
up.
Okay, before we ask the Mary Brown's questions.
You know it's a good place to go. Take a date, Mary Brown's chicken.
Before
look at Maxwell getting over on because of the bees.
Before
geez.
You ask the three questions, I have one question for you.
Here we go.
Hinge, Tinder, or Bumble? Which one gets you more action?
Tinder.
Wow.
Yeah.
Tinder.
Quick hit and get out,
on the Tinder.
Tinder. Followed by Hinge. Bumble's the worst.
Quick hit and get out. Oh, yeah, because you got to wait for them to make the first move. You're
just Bumble like
sitting there extending
one?
24 hours.
No, like that's
yeah, love, man. It's love.
It's like if you're wanting just the fees.
How many girlfriends do you have?
We're not getting into
this. A lot
this
of side
on,
action.
We're not getting into this on the highly popular
phone's blowing up.
BC show, which is doing
batteries almost dead.
Record numbers. We're not going to talk about that. Okay, here we go. This one coming in on Facebook from Strongheart asking, where's Zach Mercury and why isn't he in the business anymore?
Oh, yeah!
That's Mecca Shane's version of Zach Mercury firing up the crowd. I actually reached out to Zach Mercury to get an answer on this because I'd realized he hadn't been on shows for a long time, 2 years. He had a surgery. He's recovering from that. He's looking for some ring time. He's planning on a comeback. Going to be interesting. He adds something to a show if he puts his name to it. I would imagine he's still in Calgary. So he was wrestling for Real Canadian Wrestling before his injury. I would imagine that's where he'll pop up. And it'll be interesting to see. He's
always had a good look.
Yeah, he's a tall guy, very tall. So if he's going to wrestle Winnipeg, don't be surprised if he doesn't show up for Primos.
And don't negotiate your pay when he comes in.
We talked about him getting fired at Premier Championship Wrestling because he's looking over at the other guy's contract offer.
All right, this one coming in from Mr. Beautiful asking, who retires more, Shane Madison or Terry Funk?
It's actually a past tense question because neither guy's coming back.
I don't know.
Wait, is Mecca going to come back?
I see Shane Madison coming back along with your show.
Okay, so what is it? Let's talk betting odds here. If we had a betting sponsor right now, we'd be asking for the odds on the app. But it is, what are the odds higher? You're going to wrestle another series of matches because I don't think a one-off is a comeback. Or am I going to run a show?
100% on both.
100%. I would say, you want to say if Mike runs a show, I'm on the show?
Yeah.
Mike wouldn't be foolish enough to book me on a show.
Mike I would book you on a show in a heartbeat.
And if Mike runs one show, he's going to run more than one show.
I think the odds are better on Mike running a show than me returning to the ring.
Ooh, okay.
Well, knowing that you had your ref gear with you in Fantastel and they had no ref and you didn't say to the promoter, hey.
You had your tights too.
I have everything. You always bring your gear to the show.
Because you did not say to the promoter, listen, I can help you out here. You just sat there quietly.
I'll be honest with you. I wasn't all that interested in doing that.
And it's probably because if Marty.
And I knew they weren't totally stuck.
Yeah. And your thing is if Marty Goldstein's on the show, Shane Madison isn't. But
no, but Marty's getting on. We should answer the
question. Yeah, we should answer the question.
So I would say Terry Funk if we're answering the question. I did stop wrestling at the end of 2005 when we did your shots for AWE. I did come back in 2008, and that was because of a personal situation that happened in my life. I was going through a tough time, and wrestling is always something that gave me some comfort. So I did come back and did a few shows.
Yeah.
2009. It was 2009 when I came back, February of 2009. And then I stopped wrestling again in October. Never said, hey, I need a big retirement thing, or I just quietly went away. I didn't have a send-off or anything like that. I just stopped wrestling again. I did one show or a few shows in 2013 with Danny, went away again. And then did another match in 2014. That was it. So it's like
we all joke about it.
Yeah, but in fairness,
I didn't say. I mean, you don't retire from wrestling. Wrestling retires from you. Is kind of how I look at it.
So in fairness to you though, in 2005 you stopped being that major influencer of you're going to be the top guy of the territory. You were the top guy in the territory till 2005. And let me tell you, anytime we tried to book around you not being on top, houses went down. Adam Knight, Chi-Chi Cruz did not draw half the house that you and Chi-Chi Cruz drew 6 months before. It's part of why I say Adam Knight was the shits. And then in 2004, you with the Four Horsemen started to build business back up. In 2005, AWE, you were a big part of the Larger Than Life house where you wrestled Spider. And then like you were always an essential part of any local wrestling roster. If they could get the Mecca Shane, they were getting a lot of credibility. Then after that, for you to come back and guest for a few months or do an angle, I don't consider that a comeback and a retirement. That's what happens. Like that's what, when Bret Hart came back for WrestleMania, the 2010, it wasn't him coming out of retirement. We weren't getting the Bret Hart of 1997. Exactly. Shawn Michaels coming back and doing the Saudi show. We're not getting the Shawn Michaels of old.
No, and he
Undertaker
proved that.
Doing one WrestleMania here and there is not the Undertaker of his prime. You weren't in your prime when you came back for those things. You were actually helping out a friend who's promoting, who's coming to you saying, hey, I could really use you for an angle.
That's the other thing. It's never me pining to get back into the wrestling business. It's never me saying, hey, I have an idea, or hey, I want to do this. It's always somebody asking me, hey, Can you please come back? Yeah. Frankly, that's basically what it is.
And
I get offers. I just got an offer 2 weeks ago about a whole.
At though?
No, it wasn't there. But it was like a whole elaborate angle with different people. And, you know, I mean, honestly, like, and I didn't think with the people involved that it would ever come to fruition. And it's probably not going to happen, which is why I said, no problem. Well, hey, talk to this guy. And if that guy's in, maybe I would be.
Well, the commitment it would take, you're not as young as you used
to. Here's the thing. Like, I'm not the kind of guy, I'm never going to show up wrestling in track pants, wrestling in basketball shoes. You need to look the part. And that's one thing I always took seriously. And as you get older, it's harder to maintain that level. And people only remember you for the last thing that you did. And I don't want the last thing that I did to be somebody saying, yeah, that's Shane Madison. He was awesome. Back in the day, he was great. When?
Yeah.
I don't want that. I need to come back at a higher level that I left at. And I don't know if that's possible now. I'm 45 years old.
And three guys who retired more than you that have local wrestling ties, Vance Nevada, Robbie Royce, Darren Dalton.
Yeah. And it's not so much a quote unquote retirement. It's just, listen, I just stopped wrestling. My priorities changed. I'm still involved in wrestling. Yeah. I would consider myself still in the business.
I honestly wonder why nobody has you involved either in the creative effort, like that energy, or as an agent, someone who can say to talent, that is not what is being asked of you. This is what we need from you. Fix that promo, because your eye for quality is through the roof.
Well, the little things add up to the big things,
yeah,
right? And that's the thing is, I had ideas. I have an idea in my head, and I was just talking to Spider about it yesterday at the gym. And we were just talking about how if I was going to come back, I'd want to wrestle with this guy, but this would have to happen because I would want to polish somebody up, get them to that next level, and create that future for the local industry. That's kind of would be my whole goal.
You're also at an age where you don't recover as fast from injuries. So
I just got other stuff going on in my life, right? Yep. So there it's like go. Wrestling's not a priority.
There That's you go. Next question.
Ask and answer. This one coming into our email, totalbshes@gmail.com from Marty Fleck. He asks, which team was better, Can-Am Connection or Strikeforce?
What an obscure question.
Very good.
1987 versus 1988, I guess.
Now, let's each weigh on
it. Let's say it at the same time.
Okay.
On three.
All right.
One, two, three.
Can-Am Connection.
Oh, man.
You said Can-Am, too.
Yeah.
Why?
I just liked them better. I just thought they had a better run. I thought they connected better with the crowd.
Didn't they have like a three-month run?
But WrestleMania 3, the place goes on fire when they come out.
And I remember that, and I thought that they were just better overall in the ring.
My understanding is Vince had a major hard-on for Tom Zank. But Zank found out Martel was making more money and blew a hissy fit and quit without any negotiation. Santana already had been moving down the card, not up, and he never got back to his Intercontinental run.
Well, yeah, he never got back. That was his next stage after the Intercontinental run.
Yeah, so how long was their title run? They won it. Did they defend it?
Strikeforce won the title in October of 1987
and lost it
at WrestleMania 8 to Demolition. WrestleMania 4 to Demolition.
Yeah. So they were probably planned as transition champions, even though it was a 5-month run. They already knew where they were going at Mania. Demolition is one of the best tag team champions of all time.
They held it until July of 89 when the Brainbusters, who were, if you think about that, when Demolition won at WrestleMania 8 in 1988, you were probably thinking, hey, who's going to beat Demolition? Who's going to beat those guys? The Four Horsemen.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're not even in the company for another year and a half.
Yeah.
Well, like, they came at the end of 88.
Yeah.
But
yeah, like, so I think when they put the belts on them, they knew it's going to Demolition.
Because Demolition was getting babyface pops.
Yeah,
huge.
The era of that tag team, though, Young Stallions, who I thought were a great underneath team, Killer Bees were finishing up, British Bulldogs Islanders. Were finishing up, Islanders, Bolsheviks were there. Like, they were so loaded. Heart Remember Foundation. The Survivor Series where they had the 10 team?
1987. Yeah,
20 guys in the ring in a tag match. Yep. So there's a great argument for Strikeforce because they won the belts, but I think the trajectory was the same of Zank stays. They still win the titles. It all goes exactly the same.
I think it goes exactly
the same. It was cookie cutter, but I think they had more money with Zank was a better looking guy than Santana, but the Latino fans might have went to Santana and that might have helped Strikeforce.
Yeah, that's true. I never thought of that.
And, Can-Am, like Martel, Canadian, Miss Santana, I mean, I guess they say
Mexican.
But I mean, yes, New Jersey.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I mean, yeah. So I mean, I was a Strikeforce guy.
He was built from Tacoma, Mexico, though.
Yeah, yeah, he was. So I was never a Zank guy. I mean, he wasn't around long enough. And when I was that age, I was like 10 years old. Someone's here and then he's gone. You just forget about
him. Did you like Zank and Pillman? Zenk was an anchor for Pillman.
Zenk was a basically like a glorified prelim guy.
Yeah, especially when he was Zenk and Gunn.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
There we go. Three questions in the Mary Brown's mailbag. You want to get yours on? Check us out on Instagram, Total Bees She's, on Facebook, Total Bees She's, or send us an email like Marty Fleck did, totalbeesshes@gmail.com.
And I'm going to be coming up with the questions. I'm going to try to come up with some questions because these are softballs. Let's call it what it is. This is a softball. Do you have a question right now for next week?
No.
Do we always announce one?
No. It's always got to be mainstream, and it's always got to be like history. It can't be.
Well, I have something. I'm going to come up with something for next week, and I'm going to put people to the test.
All right.
It's going to be tough.
There you go. Get ready for next week when Mecca Shane drops the bomb.
Okay.
Well, the boss called me up and said, come in to work. I just hung up on that slave-driving jerk. I'm going to wrestling. Going to wrestling. Well, you think I'd rather be sweating on a dock or watching somebody use a hammer lock? I'm going to wrestling. Going to wrestling. R-A-S-S-L-I-N, that's wrestling. R-A-S-S-L-I-N, that's wrestling. Oh, I love to watch the missing link bang his head on a corner post and the rumper bumper butt butt delivered by the Iceman. The Freebirds, Roberts, Hayes, and Garney, but what I like the most is Kerry delivering the iron claw as only the Von Erichs can. Well, the boss called again, said it's time and a half. You'll come in tonight, and I just had to laugh. I'm going to wrestling. Going to wrestling. R-A-S-S-L-I-N, that's wrestling. R-A-S-S-L-I-N, that's wrestling. Well, my girlfriend called, and friend, she could be a model for Fredericks of Hollywood, but she was hassling, really hassling. Said I could come over early and stay real late, but I told her, honey, if we have a date, we're going to wrestling. Going to wrestling. R-A-S-S-L-I-N, that's wrestling. R-A-S-S-L-I-N, that's wrestling. Kevin Von Erich, when he's really high and flying, I like to see Ric Flair, but he's out there strutting. Andre the Giant must be 7'9". Well, I wouldn't miss this for a dozen girls, and I wouldn't miss this for nothing. I said, honey, I hope you ain't hurt. She said, I'm putting on my wrestling shirt. I'm going to wrestling. Going to wrestling. R-A-S-S-L-I-N, that's wrestling. R-A-S-S-L-I-N, that's wrestling. Well, last night I dreamed my life was over. There was golden streets and fields of clover, and the lights, they were dazzling. I looked for old St. Peter at the pearly gates. I found a note that said, I won't be too late. I'm going to wrestling. Going to wrestling. R-A-S-S-L-I-N, that's wrestling. R-A-S-S-L-I-N, that's wrestling. There's gentleman Chris Adams with his super kick in place. Young Mike Von Erich with his own iron claw. And I'll never forget the classic matches of the 70s and 80s. Two champions, Harley Race and David Von Erich. St. Peter told me as he let me in, from now on every Monday and Friday, Glenn, we're going to wrestling. Going to wrestling. R-A-S-S-L-I-N, that's wrestling. R-A-S-S-L-I-N, that's wrestling. Boy, if I'd known this was going to happen, I wouldn't have bought those advanced tickets. R-A-S-S-L-I-N, by the way, St. Pete, are you sure these wings will fit in a ringside seat? Is Fritz coming up here anytime soon? R-A-S-S-L-I-N, that's wrestling.